the nation of Iran is trying to get their nuclear facilities up, which they claim will be done for energy.
Oh, yes.
Part of the world doesn't understand or believe that. What's going to happen there?
Well, you know, there's two sides to this coin. A lot of people think, well, they have petroleum, they have resources that we don't, and that's not necessarily true. They do have petroleum, but we do also. And we maintain a lot of reserves, and we have the ability to do a lot of things other countries economically don't. But Iran's nuclear program is a very interesting thing. Yes, it's absolutely true. You can produce a lot of energy that way. But what a lot of people don't see in this country is they consider nuclear to be a kind of a dead end because of the waste issue, and Iran doesn't see that. And in fact, when you come right down to it, we're one of the only countries, or the only high-tech country, that doesn't do anything with their nuclear waste. I mean, why are we wasting it? It's because it's illegal to recycle it in this country. If you look at Russia, Germany, Japan, Great Britain, everybody is recycling. France, they're all recycling their nuclear waste because 97% of it becomes fuel again. And the other 3%, which you might consider, you know, hard radioactive waste, turns into industrial products for diagnosis, some in the medical industry, some in construction and engineering. So really, you know, the name nuclear waste is a misnomer. It was completely fabricated in this country because of a law that makes it illegal to recycle the stuff.
Most people, Charles, probably don't care how they get it, as long as they do get it.
And that's exactly the point. Most people don't care where the energy comes from, as long as you're not grinding up puppies or doing something immoral or illegal. You know, they just want a source of energy that they can depend on, and it's a reasonable cost, and it's not damaging the environment. And people are becoming far more conscious about such issues today than they have been over the past few years. Consider that all the people who are adults today were the ones that grew up the baby boomers, they grew up with these issues being presented to them from all corners. And so people are quite interested in preserving the environment because they know that they have to live in it, and so do their children and grandchildren.
Does this also tell us that we are way behind, not only in looking for other sources of energy, but technology, biotechnology, space exploration? Are we getting way behind these other nations?
It's an unfortunate fact that we are. Most of the really seminal and cutting-edge research is being done in other countries right now, and much of it is due to the fact that we have a poor economy right now, but also due to litigation and laws and restrictions in what you can research and how. For instance, many people were aware of the stem cell controversies that were going on for quite a while. Stem cell research is one of the basics of biotechnology now because people are looking to it to repair Alzheimer's and brain damage and grow new organs and replace missing teeth, etc. Well, when it comes down to it, people are still under the impression that stem cell research is being done with fetal material, fetuses. And in most cases, that is not true. That sort of research was made illegal in this country, and then we found other ways to do it. For instance, there are processes where they can literally do a liposuction on you, take your own fat cells, treat them with the chemical messages that tell cells what to become, and they'll turn into stem cells, and you can grow muscle tissue, bone tissue, anything you want from those cells. So those restrictions have basically vanished, but most people are not aware of that fact. And it comes down to the fact that our news media really doesn't tell us anything of interest or anything important these days.
What's new on the horizon, Charles? What's out there?
Technology. Well, for right now, we see a lot of countries who have produced machines that are modified inkjet printers, and I think we mentioned this before. They actually culture your cells, use the printer, and print organs layer by layer, which can then be grown and transplanted into people. They're already replacing windpipes and bladders and other things.
You're kidding me?
No, absolutely. And most of it is done in countries like South America. Now, just a couple of hundred miles south of our borders, we can find places where they're doing surgeries much cheaper than we can here, and down in South America, you can find places where you can get replacement organs. I'll give you an example. A lot of the research is done right here and then exported. The Feinberg School of Medicine at Northwestern University and the Children's Memorial Research Center, they did bladder replacements. They're making new bladders from scratch in primate research. Now, these aren't in humans yet, but they use something called mesenchymal cells, which are think of them as the cells from connective tissue, and you can find these in fetuses, but you can also extract them from marrow and other places. Mesenchymal cells can create smooth muscle tissue and from bone marrow, for instance. And this is the same type of tissue you make hearts out of. Now, what they do is they grow these cells. They print them into an organ.
In like a little petri dish, right?
That's right. And once they're cultured, they can assemble the organs using the same technology as an inkjet printer, and the cells knit together to make an organ. You literally print the connective tissue, the muscle, everything in place, and it grows into a whole organ. And it's your own tissue, so there's no transplant rejection issue involved. Now, these cells can remain active for up to 10 weeks after the transplant, so they consider that these cells are plugging into your existing tissue and repairing the damage just as if it's growing a brand new organ in a fetus, and it's happening in your tissue, in your body, in real time. And these cells can actually be harvested from amniotic fluid or other places. There's no need to even use fetal tissue in many cases.
Now, they're also experimenting with, I've got a friend who's been paralyzed from the neck down for well over a year. He won't get new stem cells in his spinal cord, and I keep telling him he should do this. He's not going to be any worse than he is now.
Well, that's true. And, you know, the thing about it is cells have the ability to communicate with each other on a chemical level. And so when you put cells into a body and they're these plastic
and they're healthy cells, right?
And they're healthy cells. That's right. They'll locate the damage, plug themselves in, and repair the damage for you.
Will you be able to eradicate cancer the same way?
I think that's quite likely. There, you know, understand there are about 200 different kinds of cancer that we've categorized, and they're from different issues. Some are caused by viral agents. Some are caused by genetic defects or chemicals you're exposed to. So there are many causes for cancer. But yes, with the use of stem cells and advanced biotechnology, there's no reason why we couldn't end cancer.
Now, when you say they grow a new organ, I picture this thing to be very small, like it would be in a fetus. And then it would grow and get bigger and bigger. But isn't that done in real time? I mean, if a guy is 30 years old, he's going to...
You're not going to wait 30 years for an organ to grow.
Right. I mean, so how does that happen so quickly?
Well, it's actually very simple. They take a culture of your cells, and they split it up, and they program some of the cells to become muscle tissue, some of them to become connective tissue. They make all the different types of tissue you make to grow the organ. Then they put them in cartridges in a printer, and the printer scans back and forth, just like printing an inkjet page, and layer by layer, going over and over, it builds the organ up. And the way it does it is it fills in the spaces with a scaffolding material, just like you'd have a scaffold to hold a building up while it's being made.
Or like plaster on a wall.
Exactly. And when it's done, the organ is full size, but it's young.
What keeps it together? Why doesn't it just fall apart?
Ah, that's because cells are covered with tiny proteins, and they recognize each other, and the proteins cause the cells to bind.
They bind instantly, don't they?
That's right. It takes a little time, you know, hours to days, but the cells bind together, and it grows a whole functioning organ.
So if your heart is a certain size, they could make that size?
That's correct. They can make whatever size you need.
We would not die ever.
Well, and that's an interesting question. You know, right now, the technology is limited to people who travel out of the country and have the money to do it. It's certainly not available.
Yeah, it's got to be expensive.
So you have to ask yourself a question. Are we going to reach a point where, you know, some very, very rich people live for, you know, 100 years because they're rich and the rest of us go without this sort of technology? Or is it something that's going to become common enough that eventually the insurance companies will accept it and fund this sort of process, because it's much cheaper to have healthy people than sick people.